Welcome to Jaguars This Week.
Presented by Aetna.
Live from Latitude 30.
Jaguars This Week.
With the voice of the Jaguars, Brian Sexton. Color analyst, Jeff Lugeman. Jaguars.com senior writer, John Osher. And some guy named Tony Boselli.
Who?
Inconceivable!
Jaguars This Week is brought to you by Ticket Exchange, Wells Fargo, Sonny's Real Pit Barbecue, and by Everbank. Let the deliberations begin.
You can't handle the truth.
Here's Brian Sexton.
Good evening and welcome to Jaguars This Week, live from Latitude 30, the official away game headquarters of the Jacksonville Jaguars. Brian Sexton, along with Jaguars.com's John Osher, Tony Boselli is here, also Jeff Lugeman. And guys, this is an important show, because there are a lot of people who have said, please take my mind off of the election yesterday. A lot of people that have come up and said, I need something good to feel good about. And I said, well, at least there's a game on Thursday night. Maybe we can give you something to work with.
Well, I'm looking forward to Thursday night. You know, I'm very glad that this has been a short week. And the reason I say that is that you're really looking ahead a lot quicker, you know, when you have a Thursday night game, because last week's game against the Detroit Lions was a disappointment. I mean, when you all of a sudden you're down 21 zip before you even have a chance to catch your breath, you're like, you've got to be kidding me. And it's at home. You know, four games at home in which you're down by 92 points combined in those four games is a big disappointment. And Monday night on Jaguars All Access, we had the owner, Jaguar Shad Khan, and he expressed his disappointment. I think people really appreciated that, you know, because the fans have done a great job this year. You know, the turnout has been good, the support has been good, and the record has not been good. And
It's not just the record, though, Jeff. It's how, I mean, ultimately it is wins and losses, but it's how we've gotten to the 1-7. And especially at home, where you're trying to encourage your fan base and give them a great show. And at the end of the day, it's about wins and losses, but it's also entertainment and having fun and a good time. And when you get beat by 92 at home, there's not a lot to leave and be hopeful and to be excited about if you're part of that fan base.
No, and it's, you know, when you're four consecutive losses at home, which three consecutive losses were the first time in franchise history, four obviously just continues that streak. You know, there's a lot of doom and gloom talk, and I get that. And, you know, when you start out, well, you're 1-7, you haven't won at home, everybody's head is on the chopping block. General manager, head coach, Tony Boselli, Jeff Lugeman, Brian Sexton, John Osher, fire them all. Replace, clean house, get rid of everybody. You know, but that's natural. That's natural. Fans are fanatics. It's a passionate sport. Well, you don't agree that we should all be fired, Tony?
Well, Boselli wouldn't fire Osher.
I'd keep O. I'd fire the rest of us.
Well, and you mentioned it being a short week. Not in my inbox, it hadn't been. It's been a long week.
I get that. And
it's, you know, I talked to Shad today, and he said basically the same thing he said on Monday night, that, you know, he's not a quick trigger guy. He's not going to pull a Bud Adams. It's not his way. And I'm glad of that.
Which, by the way, is the right response. It's the smart response. And as much as
it's the right way to run a franchise.
Absolutely. And Jeff said it, as much as the fans are mad, and they're supposed to be mad because
Tony, they want blood.
And they want blood. It's blood in the streets, and they want people's heads, and they're emotional. And I am glad for one. I mean, that's how fans are supposed to be. But when you're running the franchise,
you'd be worried if they didn't have an opinion.
Absolutely. And if you're sitting in Shad Khan's seat or any franchise, you have to take the emotion out of it and make a decision looking at the big picture and what needs to happen. And I'm not saying what that decision is going to be 8 games from now, but that's the last thing you even start talking about right now, because it does nothing. It doesn't move the ball down the field. It doesn't move the needle.
What Jerry Richardson did in Carolina.
What Bud Adams said,
it accomplishes nothing.
No.
And the Jaguars owner, Shad Khan, is a very smart man. He is going to be very measured in his approach and in the evaluation of the season. And trust me, folks, he will make the right decisions.
Here's the thing. Today, and you were there, John, the news conference with Mike Mularkey. He was asked about, you know, what's he thinking if the losing continues? You know, where are you and your thought process?
Right.
So 8 games in now to his first season as the head coach of the Jaguars. Now he's getting the question. I mean, this
well,
is
when
so
you're 1-7, you get the question.
I get it. No, right. I get it. But what I'm saying is you know, Gene is getting the question, and Gene's been getting it. And now you've got the head coach getting it, and Khan got it on Monday night. This just isn't where we thought we would be when we started the show back in August.
No, and it's been the amazing thing is, and I thought about this more and more this week as the week went on, they've sort of been what I thought they would be on the road. You know, they lost a couple overtime games that they could have, should have won, played pretty good against Green Bay, and won against Indian. If you had asked me before the season, what sort of team is this going to be, that was going to be it. A team that if they fought, if they played smart, they could win at the end. So really on the road, they've been what I think we all kind of thought they'd be. And it's been at home that it's just been this awful. I mean, there's no good way to describe what's happened at home. It's been terrible. And I'm not sure what the difference is. It's a very strange dynamic.
Well, outside, I mean, one of the biggest differences, let's call it what it is, outside of Green Bay, the tougher opponents have been at home.
Sure.
I mean, the better.
But you still didn't expect them to get waxed.
No, I did not expect this team to get blown out and not be in games when the fourth quarter starts.
Right.
But the flip side of that is the better teams have been at home and the weaker opponents on the road. I mean, on the road, you had the Raiders, you had the Vikings, who are not a very good team.
No.
You've had the Colts that have a rookie quarterback are going through growing pains. I know they're 5-3, but they're an average 5-3 team.
But I think people could have accepted home losses, but you can't accept when.
Oh, I agree.
It's 10 minutes to go in the fourth quarter.
Competitive losses are what you're looking for.
Well,
no, you're actually looking for wins.
Yeah.
At least a couple.
Let me correct myself.
I'm looking for wins.
You want wins, but if it is a loss, you want a loss that's competitive. It's down to the wire. It's entertaining. You know, for the fans, and I think it would be easier to take than minus 92 on the scoreboard.
I guess it would be easier, but at 1-7.
Well, it's never easy.
I mean, listen, this team needs to win. We said this 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
It's time. You have to win. The only thing that's going to change anything is winning. You know, if we go out tomorrow night and play a good game and it's close and we lose at the end.
Nah, not good enough.
I mean, it's not good enough. I mean, come on. I mean, this moral victory stuff is for the birds. I mean, you got to win ball games. That's what it's about.
Moral victory is for middle school.
Even there.
Yeah.
The parents won't accept it.
It's true. True.
Have you been to a Little League game lately, John?
My goodness.
Yeah, you're right.
My kids play middle school.
Holy cow.
I got parents screaming at the coaches.
They're worse than some professional games.
I'm a tennis parent. I don't know.
Yeah, but it's tennis. Come on, John. Yeah.
Does that count?
You tell the tennis parents.
No,
that.
It does not count, by the way.
Well, the Metro PCS call-in line this evening, 355-NFL1, 800-355-6351, at John Osher, at Tony Buscelli. Always for you to take part in the program this evening. This is Jaguars This Week, and we are live at Latitude 30, right across from the Avenues Mall there on US 1. So come by and say hello, enjoy some of the great food, some of the great activities.
And tweet some questions. We'll actually, because we haven't been taking as many Twitter questions.
At Tony Buscelli, fire him away.
At Jeff Logman.
If you tweet questions,
Osher.
As long as they're...
There's a guy in West Virginia that does not want those questions.
As long as they're not profane, we'll go through them and have...
Oh, this ought to be good.
We'll have some conversations.
At Tony Buscelli, folks. All right, Joe, take us away.
Thank you, Brian Sexton. Get a great deal on a Ford F-150 during Truck Month at your local Southern Ford dealers. Come on by. We'll be here till late. Love to see you. Heck, the Browns are here. They came all the way down from Winnipeg. The only reason they're here is for this show and this show only. So surely you can come on by while you're out and about. Jaguars This Week, presented by Aetna, live at Latitude 30, rolls on Jaguars Radio. When you're looking for department store style at discount prices, look no further than your neighborhood Stein Mart. 6 Jacksonville locations. Stein Mart, more fashion, less price. Brian.
All right, welcome back to Latitude 30. We are live here every Wednesday night, the away game headquarters of the Jaguars. Brian Sexton, Tony Buscelli, Jeff Loggeman, John Osher. Got a tweet for you. By the way, you want to join us on the program, the Metro PCS call-in line, 355-NFL1 across the internet. It's 800-355-6351 or at John Osher, at Tony Buscelli. I've got one.
Hey, by the way, the steak nachos continue to be great.
Right.
And the
Did you order steak nachos?
Well, yeah, me and Joe and JP
already ate killed
and Sexton
one?
Were here early and we wiped it out.
Yeah. JP was here?
I had a pizza with the bacon. Huh.
And then we had the bacon. What else is on
bacon,
that?
Bacon, sausage, and pepperoni pizza.
Outstanding.
It is. It's phenomenal.
Kudos to the cook staff here at Latitude 30.
Come by and get one, folks. Okay, I've got a tweet for you. Again, at John Osher, at Tony Buscelli, if you'd like to get a thought in here. And that's, should the Jaguars, considering the injury to Stanford Rout, or pardon me, to Rasheed Mathis, be looking at Stanford Rout, who was inexplicably cut loose by the Chiefs?
Absolutely. I think that when you're 1-7, you have to look at every personnel move possible. And Stanford Rout has been a starter in Oakland. He's been a big free agent acquisition in Kansas City.
Well,
and was cut loose unexpectedly. And I'm not saying that you should go out there and sign him, because I haven't seen Stanford Rout. I don't know what kind of a player he is. I don't know what kind of money demands he is, because, you know, he's a veteran guy and he was automatically a free agent, so he can, you know, listen to every offer that's around the league. But I think when you're a team that has an ailing Derek Cox, an ailing Rasheed Mathis, and there's a corner, which is a premium position in the National Football League, absolutely you should investigate it.
Well, I mean, I guess you look at it, but here's the – let's look at the facts. He was – Kansas City had $5 million they just put into him and signed, and they cut him halfway through the season.
Right.
He is a guy who's a 30-year-old corner, and if you bring him in next year, he'll be 31, I believe. You're basically saying, we'll just bring him in for 8 games on a team that's 1-7, and you're probably better off letting your young guys play. And at this point, seeing what you have, because most likely, number one, you don't want to spend the money. There's something up. Right. If a team throws away $5 million on a corner, and
it's generally
his age, so I would say no.
It's generally the kind of thing aimless.
No, but
teams
you look
do.
At it.
But I think it.
No, but you investigate it.
Yeah, you look.
Yeah, I also
you investigate it.
I also look.
It's not going to solve.
You know, hey,
I also
look at, you know, if a pizza comes in, doesn't mean I'm going to eat the whole thing.
No, I know that. Well, but I, you know, irregardless of age,
now,
you know, I think too many people get caught up into. We've got to build to the future, okay? And a lot of times, sometimes you just need a bridge to get you to that point.
Jeff, they cut him. They paid him $5 million guaranteed and cut him after 8 games.
I'm not saying that they should sign the guy. I'm just saying that they should investigate and do the due diligence, which I know that Gene Smith will do. But you've got to take a look at that position. That is a premium position.
You got one, Buscelli?
I got a couple. One is for John Osher, the Ozone. And he the question is, does Ozone have funnel cake on his face?
No, it took me a couple of days, but I wiped up.
All right.
You know what's amazing? By the way, Jaguars.com, is that today's mailbag, Ozone mailbag?
Yeah, it's today's.
Very nicely done. Johnny O was at the fair. Did you see it, Brian?
I haven't, but I will go home and watch it.
Johnny Osher was at the fair and won a couple little stuffed animals, did a very nice job. And today, during the Inside the Jaguars report with Jeff Loggeman and J.P. Shadrick, minus Johnny Osher.
Where were you, Osh?
I was tired from
the
fair.
He was back at the fair.
I was back at the fair. I couldn't
Riding
get enough
the
fair.
World again, huh?
All right, let's back enough fair. We've heard enough of the fair.
We're trying to have fun.
Can you get enough fair?
1-7, you can get all the fair you can get.
Another question from Jag fan. Big picture, moving forward, how many potential difference makers are on the Jags' current roster? Because you look at, I think a lot of the things, I think we talked about it, what makes the difference between the average and the good and then the great teams is every you have to have a good base of nice players and good players, but it's the impact players. It's the
how many potential or how many guys.
It's the difference makers that determine really how far you can go.
I think the issue with the Jaguars right now is that there are potential difference makers, and there's not enough flat out declared difference makers right now.
Well, I'd say right now, a problem of 1-7 is that nobody's played like a real difference maker, and that's why you're 1-7.
Okay. Well,
potential.
Where are the potential? How many potential difference makers, impact players, are on this roster right now?
Quarterback, Justin Blackman, Cecil Shorts. Obviously, Maurice Jones-Drew is not a potential. He's a given. There's no such thing as a difference maker along the offensive line, so we'll just bypass that group altogether.
What about that?
I disagree with you there, but that's fine.
What about that?
I just wanted a response.
I disagree.
We just drew a line between the couches.
So, I mean, Virginia, so the Virginia guy doesn't count.
I'll say this, though. I'll say this. You want an impact player on the offensive line, a guy who can take away the best pass rusher on the team by himself.
And I think you got two of them.
And you don't have to worry about chipping or sliding or anything else.
Right, Searcy was a difference maker.
No, you know what? And I was joking about the offensive line. Eugene Monroe, after not a great week at Green Bay, played very well against Detroit. Folks, Cameron Bradfield in what was his, I believe, eighth start at right tackle in his career.
Correct. That was his eighth start.
He is a really good football player.
Well, okay, wait a second now. Cameron Bradfield is progressing and has the potential to be a really good football player, but to say today that Cameron Bradfield is a really good football player is maybe a little bit of hyperbole. I mean, I think he's playing.
No.
Jeff,
did anybody
Jeff,
see Cliff Averill last Sunday?
626.
Yeah, I saw Cliff Averill.
Where?
I watched the film. He had a couple pressures, but for the most part,
he did.
Yes, I think Cameron Bradfield played nice. I think he played a good game. But to say that Cameron Bradfield right now is really good.
I'm saying he is a really good player and is going to be a really good player.
I think he is too. I think he is, but he's.
We're in agreement. We're just.
He's in the potential, but to say that Cameron Bradfield today is a guy
he's playing well.
Okay, let me. For me,
Cliff Averill just got franchised.
I don't care if
Cameron Bradfield.
There's a lot of guys who get franchised. That doesn't mean anything to me.
Cameron Bradfield just negated a franchise defensive end.
Okay, let's do this. Let's define what impact.
And J.J. Watt is not a great player. I'm sorry.
Let's define what a really good player is. And let's define what an impact player is. A really good player is a difference maker that you line up and say, he can take care of himself and I'm not going to worry about him. He neutralizes the opponent. That's what a really good player. Nice players are guys that are serviceable, get it done. But you know what? You realize that there's limitations, and we got to make maybe slide. I'm talking just offensive line now.
Okay.
We have to slide or chip or take the edge off, depending on who they play.
Back to the point of the question.
Am I wrong, Ozone?
No, you're not wrong.
Thank you.
I would say so far this year.
I think Cameron Bradfield is a guy that you can put in at the right tackle and build and have there for a number of years if he continues to progress the way he is.
Although Cliff Averill was a 12-sack guy last year, so he's a pretty good player.
Cliff
Averill's
done nothing all year. Cliff Averill has done nothing the entire year.
Monroe.
Hey, easy now. Easy now. Clay County now. Green Coast Springs.
Listen, I think
Clay
he's a
County
good player.
High school. Easy, Tony.
I'm going to pull up Cliff Averill's numbers. This is ridiculous.
92.
No, not. I know what his jersey number is, what his numbers are. Oh, my God.
Hey, real quick, let's finish the question on the defensive side of the ball.
Well, you said number.
Let's finish the question on the defensive side of the ball. Is Terrence Knighton a potential difference maker? Is Andre Branch a potential difference maker?
I don't buy this potential. I mean, I get worried about saying they're potential difference makers.
Basically on
defense.
Well,
that was your question, though, wasn't it?
No,
who are the potential guys?
I guess you're right. So I guess I better just be quiet.
If Derek Cox could stay healthy,
he's
potential.
I got Derek Cox.
That's really the only guy this year, because Lesney's played well. Derek Cox.
There's
is
a
really
lot of ifs
only.
On that side of the ball.
Yeah, it's all ifs.
If
and
Derek
waiting.
Cox can stay healthy, if Terrence Knighton plays with a motor every week. Mm-hmm.
But here's the difference. The difference between, in my opinion, Terrence Knighton and Derek Cox. Derek Cox has played at a high level this year.
Yes.
Injuries have prevented him from doing it consistently.
He didn't do that last week.
He had a seized up back, and for whatever reason.
Calvin Johnson had a bad knee.
It's not even. And for whatever reason, we decided not to put a safety over the top. I don't still understand that. I'm not a defensive coordinator. Maybe Jeff, you can explain that. You're a defensive guy. But most teams that I've seen this year, I don't care who's playing corner, they put a safety over the top of Calvin Johnson.
Yep.
I don't know why we didn't.
We reached the bottom of the hour here. The first half hour is in the books, and it's just getting heated up, folks. Joe.
Thank you, Brian. You can join Blaine Gabbert, captain of the third annual McKenzie's Run. It's a 5K run and walk and one-mile fun run on November 10th. It's at Everbank Field that supports the McKenzie Noel Wilson Foundation. Register as a team for only $15 per person. You can do it at McKenzie'sRun.org. Jaguars this week presented by Aetna live at Latitude 30 rolls on Jaguars Radio. Well, you could be driving a brand new Kia Optima by registering to win Cons Kia. Stop by Southside Kia or Kia of Orange Park for your chance to win Brian Sexton. Not win Brian Sexton. To win Brian Sexton.
Okay. Thanks, Joe. I think.
Take it easy over there, Joe.
All right. We've got the phone lines, the Metro PCS call-in lines open this evening. Obviously, John Osher and Tony Baselli are taking your tweets at Tony Baselli, at John Osher. Osher, got anything?
No, I don't.
All right. Okay.
Well, nobody tweets you?
Baselli's got tons.
I got a bunch.
I figured Tony had plenty.
I have a bunch. So one of the questions is, Shad Khan was on the Jaguars
All Access
on Monday night.
CBS 47.
And, 7 John, and Johnny O, I know you guys had an interview, sit down with him today.
Yes.
One of the questions in regard to something that Shad had said was that we are $17 million over the cap and that we have the sixth highest payroll in football today. And one of the fans saying, is that true? And explain that a little bit, because you hear some reports that say we have a bunch of cap space. And that we could spend more money. So either Jeff, I know we talked about it a little bit, Jeff or John, talk about
the
difference.
We can kind of talk through it together. It's real cash payroll this year. And they were able to roll over some cap space this year. They spent about $15 million of the $30 that they could spend this year. And so they've still got some for next year that you can roll over.
Yep,
but in terms of real cash out.
Stop right there, because what John is talking about is, in the past couple years where they didn't spend a lot of money, they could roll that cap room over into this year.
And this
correct.
Is the last year you can really do that.
Right. And that's why when you read some of the news reports, it says that the Jaguars have all this cap room, which is amongst the, you know, the best in the league as far as cap room. And so most people look at that number of available cap room and say, oh, can't believe the Jaguars are cheap. Well, that money was rolled over from last year and the year before.
Well, and the intent of it is that next year the cap is still flat. It's not expected to take a major jump until 14.
It won't stay flat, but it will be relatively flat, because it will have to go up somewhat just to appease the union.
But Shad said today he expects it to maybe go up about $600,000.
A small knot.
Wait, say that again. $600,000?
Yes. So
it was like
120.3
this year, 120.9. So it's,
and that's where all that cap space is slated to go.
But what Shad is talking about as far as, you know, we've spent this amount of money and we're one of the top six in the league. He's talking about real dollars being spent. Real dollars being spent on salaries for this year. Cash out of pocket for free agency, re-signing your own, whereas opposed to looking at other teams that may have an inflated salary cap number, but that was cash paid out in years past, and it's amortized money that's being accelerated into this year. So, so as far as real dollars being spent, Shad is correct in that they are in the top 10 in the league in money spent this year, which is somewhat concerning. Because
I was going to say, the next part of the question was, if that is true, he says, I'm concerned, and should we be concerned?
Yes. Well,
when you're 1-7, you're always concerned.
Always. Always. You know, when you're 1-7, you've got major problems. It's doom and gloom. You know, as I said before, fire the coach, fire the general manager, fire the broadcaster.
Well,
and I get that.
And then a couple questions that kind of parlay off that is, they're talking about asking questions about defense, and there was a question, Jeff, and I know you and I talked about it off the air, about there's a lot of money in that defense on certain positions, and how did the front seven play, and then specifically how the defensive line play?
Was not a whole lot of money up front.
No,
to be honest with you, I mean
the only money up front is Jeremy Mincy. You know, Jeremy Mincy obviously got the big deal. And Mincy has been solid. And has Mincy played better than what he did last year or worse than he did last year? I would say that it's not quite as good as last year. The rest of the defensive line, the disappointing thing for me, let me just start specifically with that game. As a group, they did not play well as a group. But I will also say that the Detroit Lions have one of the better offensive lines in the league when it comes to protecting the quarterback, and that's what they do. They throw the football.
But, Jeff, they ran for 145 yards.
Yeah, but back off, Tony, because you know what? When the game got to be 21-0, the running game really didn't impact the game at all. Most of the yards were gained after the score got to 21-0 at that point.
The disturbing thing about the running game, I agree with Jeff, early it wasn't like the Lions dominated between the 20s running, but they just scored in the red zone running way too easy. And that's what was disturbing is when they really needed stops, they didn't come close to getting them.
Yeah, and maybe I didn't watch it live. I watched the coaches' tape, so maybe, I mean, I'm sure there's a different feeling watching it. I would.
You know, they do show the scoreboard at the beginning of the play when you.
I understand. No, I watched the scoreboard, but getting you don't get it the flow of the game drive to drive because you're watching one unit and then you watch the next unit. I don't think we played the run it up very well at all.
You know, early on, they played it very well. What hurt them early on was Calvin Johnson, 6 catches for 111 yards in the first half.
They played it well enough in spots early to have stayed in the game if you hadn't given up just easy yards to Calvin Johnson.
And then being on the field.
In the second half, it was not good.
And then being on the field for the entire first half, that does not help when your offense has, what was it, nine?
Well, they had 26 yards before the 25.
18 plays in the first half.
25-yard pass to Cecil at midfield at the very end of the game. They had 26 yards. For the first 29 minutes of the first half.
It does make it easy.
No, but I think overall, you look at this team, they're giving up 135 yards per game on the ground, which is 26 in the NFL. I mean, so I'm not.
It had gotten a little better. For a couple of weeks, the run defense against Green Bay and Oakland was pretty good.
Absolutely, I agree. They played much better.
It started off capable this last week, and you could have stayed in it had the offense been functional at all. But in the second half, you know, the run defense gave up way too much. And, you know, it again, in the first half, what really killed the run defense was not being able to really even come close to getting stops in the red zone. That was disturbing.
You know, because if you looked at Detroit, the Detroit Lions' third down conversions in the first half, they weren't 3rd and 3, 3rd and 4. They were 3rd and 7 plus.
Right. It was a pattern in the first half where you felt, okay, they're getting them stopped, good down and distance.
Right. Down, no good.
And they convert it, and that's just, if that happens once, it's discouraging. If it's a pattern, it's just deflating.
I think they were 5 of 7 on third down in the first half alone.
They were good.
And there were some long distances.
Yes, very much so.
Let's do this. Let's take a break. When we come back, let's talk about consistency and how the Jaguars can start creating some of that over the second half of the season. Joe.
Thanks, Brian. Pick up your Denny's Playmaker card at participating Denny's locations, and you can learn how you can win a Mega Jaguars fan experience at the December 23rd home game. No purchase necessary. This is Jaguars This Week, presented by Aetna, live at Latitude 30. We're having a blast. Come join us. We're here till 8 o'clock. We'll be back after this on Jaguars Radio. Hey, try Sonny's Chicken and Ribs, only $10.99. You get a heaping helping of our barbecue chicken and sweet and smoky ribs. Two of your favorite sidekicks, garlic bread or cornbread, all for only $10.99. Sonny's, the first name in barbecue, the first name in Jaguars This Week. Well, it's Jaguars, but here's Brian Sexton.
Thanks, Joe. Welcome back. Jaguars This Week, live from Latitude 30. Osher, Lagerman, Buscelli, and yours truly.
So we never really summarize the playmakers on this team or the big-time players, but folks, the fact of the matter, in response to the tweet that Tony got, when you're 1-7, it's almost impossible to declare many difference makers or playmakers for a football team. And you can debate potential playmakers all you want, but it is a show-me-now business, bottom-line business.
And I think that's exactly right, Jeff. I think it's hard when you're 1-7 to make anything feel good or look good.
They're not making plays, so right now there are no playmakers.
Right. And, you know, I think there are some – there are some nice young players on this team that you can build around. I mean, we're kind of splitting hairs talking about Cameron Bradfield because I know.
Yeah, but we're on the same page.
Both of us believe he's a good player.
Yes.
And has a chance to be a right tackle that you can plug in and build around. You know, obviously Eugene is a guy at left tackle that is a good left tackle in this league and you can build around. And I'm still withholding judgment on Blaine. I think it's too early to do that. Cecil Shorts has progressed nicely.
Just to go back to Blaine a little bit, I mean, he is showing progress.
No, he is, but I'm saying, but I think we've all said you can't really make a judgment until the end of this year. I mean,
well, right. Let's go back real quick, Logs, because I think a lot of people saw the Green Bay game and said that was a breakthrough, and the Detroit game is not progress. How well did he play when you went back and looked at the tape, or how poorly
in Green
did he
Bay?
Play? No. The Lions game, was that a significant step back, or was it
first half was?
Yeah, the first half.
The first half was. You know, and not just the first half. I thought the beginning of the second half was worse than the first half.
Because of the picks?
Yeah, because of the picks. I mean, one of those was really a simplistic deal, and what you don't throw the post in the cover two that Mike Mularkey talked extensively about. But, you know, with a young player, progress is never a straight line increase. It is much like the stock market in that it's up, down, and then eventually it starts to smooth out. And that's just the way it is with a young quarterback. And I hope that it starts to smooth out. And consistency and improvement, and consistent improvement is a sign that yes, you've got a quarterback that you want to keep. We haven't seen that yet. That's something that he has to show.
There are two different guys, but you know what we're going to hear this week is, well, what about the guy on the other side of the field? He hasn't seen a down curve yet.
Well,
that's the devil's advocate argument that I'm getting, at least.
Well, and I would say this, in that Andrew Luck, when he was at Stanford, had the benefit of playing in a pro-style offense under Jim Harbaugh. That helps. This year has been absolutely tremendous as a passer. But if you look at the numbers and break down Gabbert and Andrew Luck, they're not that dissimilar. I mean, I've got the printout that shows Andrew Luck and Blaine Gabbert. The biggest difference is the throwing opportunities that Andrew Luck has. But if you – and then the only other significant difference is yards per attempt. Is hold on, let me finish.
No, I know you're
finished. Let me finish.
Okay, sorry.
And the only other difference that I would say is that on yards per attempt, that's different. But if you looked at completion percentage, passer rating, in all different scenarios, they're not that far apart.
No, they're not. It's just that he's come out, and he's got Reggie Wayne, so that's a significant advantage.
He's 5-3.
Right.
That's the key.
He has thrown for 300 yards four times in his rookie season.
Well, yes.
Well, he's better right now.
I mean, that's what...
Yeah, I mean, he just is. And Blaine right now, unfortunately for Jag fans, is still a work in progress. And we don't, you know, you can't say that about Andrew Luck. So right now, Andrew Luck is further ahead. The Jaguars fans are going to say, well, how can that be? Well, it be. So...
That's good,
it helps.
John. It be.
Would you write that?
It helps significantly.
Is that grammatically correct,
that
by the way?
He has Reggie Wayne.
Is that grammatically correct?
It not be grammatically correct,
it be
on the field.
It be radio.
So, but it
Reggie
helps.
Wayne is having a tremendous season.
Well, and it helps significantly when you've got a 12-year veteran guy who you know exactly where he is. And Cecil Shorts and Justin Blackmon have about, 10 starts between them.
Yeah.
That's not insignificant in terms of a quarterback knowing where he is. Even with that, I don't think that Blaine would be where fans want him to be yet. But I still continue to say that until this season's over with, it's too early to tell what that's going to be.
Yeah, and I don't want people to think that I'm saying that Andrew Luck and Blaine Gabbert equals. That's not what I'm saying. With Andrew Luck, obviously, Reggie Wayne makes a big difference. And the last couple days, got to watch about three different games of the Indianapolis Colts offense. And the one thing that really stands out, besides Andrew Luck, I'm just talking about things around Andrew Luck, because a lot of things he makes happen himself. Reggie Wayne, Blaine Gabbert does not have a Reggie Wayne. T.Y. Hilton and Donnie Avery catch everything that's thrown their way,
but
contested balls, which is amazing. I mean, what was he, a third-round pick? Very impressive player. And I'm not trying to sell out the Jaguars wide receivers, but I am going to point out that Justin Blackmon is not where he needs to be. and has been disappointing so far, and certainly had disappointing moments over the last couple games. He's got to be better. Right now, T.Y. Hilton is playing just as good, and you could make the argument probably better than Justin Blackmon, and Justin Blackman's a top five pick.
So it goes, I got a tweet from a fan says, so in the passing game, so we talked about the receivers and Reggie Wayne, what a big difference he makes, and obviously a great wide receiver for a long time, and Andrew Luck's fortunate to have him. But the passing games, if you look at these two clubs, are night and day. I mean, Andrew Luck is throwing for the same amount of yardage as Peyton Manning as a rookie. Reggie Wayne is having
more so.
No, it's just that, actually the exact same yards. Exact same number, 2,404. Reggie Wayne is having a career year, which you would not expect with a rookie quarterback. So the question the fan had is, in our passing game, which is not as good, it's one of the bottom in the NFL, is it the quarterback is the main issue, or is it the receivers?
Combination of both. I mean, you can't ever pin it on one. But I will say, fans that have questions about, you know, Andrew Luck has also, he has about 100 and something more attempts than Blaine Gabbert on the season.
They've unleashed him and let him play.
Absolutely.
Yes.
And that's where I'm going in the second
and
hour
that's,
here.
And that's Bruce Arians, and that goes back to what I said a couple of weeks ago, let Blaine Gabbert throw it all over the yard, because I think
that's what you said.
Well, however, that's the way you're gonna find out, and then you also are going to get more of an evaluation in the process, and I think that they should do that. Because,
but I think what we're saying is the natural thing is for fans and everyone to compare Andrew Luck and Blaine Gabbert and why the difference and look how great Andrew Luck is, but it's not as easy as just saying, let's just look at those two. There's attempts,
right.
There's opportunities, there's personnel. It's a offense built differently. If you look at this team, part of the reasons there's not as many attempts early in the year, what were they doing? They're trying to get the ball to Maurice Jones-Drew.
Right.
Indianapolis does not have a Maurice Jones-Drew.
No, they have Donald Brown, though.
Which
and
is
he is Donald Brown.
Yeah, but so to your point, Jeff, it's hard, and we're not trying to say, and Jeff wasn't trying to say that Andrew Luck and Blaine are the same guy.
No.
But it's not always a black and white issue in apple to apple comparison. You have to look at the big picture, and there are some reasons there's differences in yardage and in production. With that, we don't want to take anything away from Andrew Luck. He's played outstanding.
And he has really created opportunities for himself with his legs.
Yeah, and that's
he's a really good athlete.
That really, I think, the biggest thing that separates, I mean, right now, looking at Blaine and Andrew Luck, is I wouldn't say the arm, I would say the poise in the pocket. Because Andrew Luck, when he comes under any kind of duress, the reaction of it is no big deal. He seems to know where to go. He seems to know how to create more time and extend the play.
It's that last part that's really impressive to me.
Yes.
He creates it and then knows what to do with it.
That really is what I think makes the Colts probably excited more than anything, that this guy is going to be great, which is great for the Colts, not good for the Jaguars.
All right. That'll do it for hour number one. News is next, and then another hour of Jaguars This Week, live from Latitude 30, the official away game headquarters of the Jaguars. News is next. All right, welcome back. Jaguars This Week, live from Latitude 30. Ryan Sexton, John Osher, Tony Boselli, Jeff Loggeman. The Metro PCS call-in line is open at 355-NFL1. And, of course, the tweets are flowing tonight, at least at Tony Boselli. John, is your phone off?
He doesn't have any fans or nobody that likes him, so we'll have to defer to Tony on
nobody likes me. That's obvious, but I'll come up with some later.
I was saying, you normally, at least, is a no. You normally have a pretty good influx.
Tell Loggeman Hilton was taken after anger, which, yeah.
That was what I was looking at.
That's pretty much par for the course.
Why tell me?
Because you don't have Twitter.
Well, how about tell everybody?
No, because we're talking about T.Y. Hilton and how well he's played.
No, I know that, but why does it got to tell me? Why not tell all of us?
Maybe it was somebody who was referring back to, I think it was a week ago or 2 weeks ago, when you were raving about the record-breaking season.
He's actually on pace to break the rookie NFL record, but he's a punter. I get that, Tony.
No, I'm not saying that. I'm referring to this guy, the guy who
wrote this
tweet.
I do want to point out that he flipped the field twice.
Yeah. Yeah, I will say this. Monday night, Linda, get ready. On Monday night on Jaguars All Access. Thank you.
One was a 73-yarder.
The third play, which, you know, we go top three, Brian, you know the drill. 3-2-1, one's being the best. Our third best top play of the game was the 73-yarder by Brian Anger. And it was a tremendous punt. But I made the comment during the show is that you've got three top plays. It's not good that a punt
ends up
one out of three.
Well, and number two was also a punt.
Well, we chose to go with Michael Spurlock with number two.
No, but the two play the reason they were in the game in the first quarter was because he flipped the field twice.
Right. Yes,
and that's not good.
Pinned him at the 8. Pinned him at the 9.
It's good for him.
I was glad to see because the two previous games Brian Anger did not have good games.
He fell off.
So, kudos to him. And it was funny actually in pregame warm up. Brian, me and you were sitting there and we're watching Brian Anger warm up, and Nick Harris, who is the Detroit Lions punter now, who was with the Jaguars last year and had played or punted, I don't want to say played because that's different. He had punted for the Detroit Lions for a very long time. And he's watching Brian punt, and he's stunned in amazement.
A couple of cow guys, right?
And that's all I'm going to talk about the punter because Tony Boselli is very sensitive to talking too much about punters on this show.
What would you say?
I'm not sensitive. How am I sensitive? I was just saying I'm not sure that's what.
That's it. We're not talking about it anymore.
You're the one who's talking about it.
Not me. Talking about what?
Just a couple of fans out here.
Banger. Banger.
Well, you get a positive response from the crowd.
All right, moving on.
Yeah, I mean.
Well, if this was focus group testing, they'd say talk about the punter more.
He's really good, though.
Pacelli.
Banger.
He's done with it. What else you got, Tony? Anything else?
Who's got the better name? Pat Angerer or Brian Anger?
I think Angerer.
Pat Angerer is the linebacker for the Colts.
Right.
There was a question about the a law.
You didn't answer my question. Who's got the better name, Pat Angerer or Brian Anger?
I don't really care.
Did we talk about Boselli and Osier in the octagon?
Octagon.
That came in.
That was a Twitter question. I got my money on Johnny O.
I got a political question.
One kick in the leg, and Boselli's hip is done.
I got a political / football question.
No. We don't do politics on this show.
Is it the one that you showed me?
Yeah.
I think it's probably worth listening to. Trust me on this one.
In Colorado, marijuana was legalized by referendum.
You know, and it would figure that it's your home state.
And at the same time, just recently, about 2 weeks ago, Peyton Manning bought 21 Papa John's franchises in Denver. And the question is that insider training by Peyton Manning?
It could be. It's smart, whatever it is.
Peyton Manning knows something about the change of the law.
Munchies.
That's a question Twitter asks, and we want to answer.
Let me ask you this from a guy who knows nothing. How come legalizing marijuana and pizza are related?
I don't know. I'm answering a question. They want to know, did Peyton Manning know something?
Now, but why is there a correlation between the two?
All right, moving on.
The fans are asking the question.
Right. We'll leave that.
Let's move on.
Let's leave that one alone.
Johnny O, you had a ponytail. What's the correlation between smoking marijuana
and pizza?
Why don't you move to Colorado and find out?
You had a ponytail as well.
I remember it. In fact, I have a trading card with your picture on it.
Why don't you move to Colorado and find out? Please.
As we move on.
All right.
That was a question.
There you go.
Just to lighten it up
a
little bit.
Second half, Jaguars move the football some. And they did it from a spread offense, essentially. Blaine Gabbert in the shotgun more than under center, calling the plays himself, moving the team up and down the field. My question is, why don't they sling it all over the field, Lugs? Why not come back? You know, it's what they did with Cam Newton last year in Carolina. They put him in a situation where he was comfortable and could succeed. Should they do more of that, you know, the second half of the season and let him work from the shotgun and a spread. Matt Stafford works it.
He's getting close to that time.
I agree that they need to let Blaine throw the ball. But at the same time, you don't want to get to the point where you're like the New Orleans Saints and that you're not very good on defense. Easy, Tony.
Okay. Well, I'm just saying.
And what I mean is,
looking at John.
Yeah.
John has the same question I have.
Well, what I mean by that is that you're not very good on defense, so you don't want to put your defense out on the field too much. We saw kind of what happens with that against the Detroit Lions. But, yes, I agree in that they need to go ahead and allow Blaine Gabbert to throw. And if you look at the numbers over the last three, four games, they have been allowing him to throw. But, unfortunately, the game really has dictated those numbers. I want to see those numbers where the score is even and Blaine is still throwing. But, yes, I mean, I said it a couple weeks ago. Let him sling it all over the yard. And the reason I agree with that thought is that the production of Rashad Jennings is extremely disappointing.
Why is that, Jeff?
He's a 225-pound back that is indecisive. He is hesitant, and he's not attacking. And at times appears to not want to engage. Look, if I'm 225 pounds, I'm going to punish people as a running back, especially when I've got an opportunity against a defensive back.
And I don't disagree with anything you just said, but let me ask you a question. No Greg Jones, does that make a difference?
Yes, because Greg is one of the best fullbacks in the National Football League. And
that's not the issue you see with Rashad.
No, that's not the issue with
Rashad. And I agree with you.
And
he needs to run tougher, is what
you're saying. Let me use this opportunity to tease the Mike Mularkey Show Sunday morning. I'm going to sit down with running backs coach Sylvester Kroom, who, by the way, if folks didn't know, one of the legends at the University of Alabama, 20 years in the National Football League, has coached some great players, Steven Jackson, Barry Sanders. And we actually, it's supposed to be film room, and we never got to the film because the conversation was so good about his days under Paul Bear Bryant. And also coaching Barry Sanders. Check it out Sunday morning.
Sunday at 11 on CBS 47.
Linda, where's the cha-ching? Thank you.
All right. We've hit quarter after the hour. Let's do this. Let's take a break. We'll come back and continue the conversation live from Latitude 30 here on News Talk, WOKV and Jaguars Radio, Joe.
Well, you need a truck that works for you even when you're not working. The 2012 Silverado is the most dependable, longest-lasting, full-size pickup truck that fits your lifestyle. See your Southern Chevy dealer today, proud sponsor of the Jacksonville Jaguars. Jaguars This Week, presented by Aetna, live at Latitude 30, rolls on Jaguars Radio. Well, Aetna's mobile app lets you view claims and access your family's medical history anytime, anywhere. And Aetna's payment estimator lets you see and compare costs ahead of time. Try them out at Aetna.com. Aetna, no more, get better.
All right, Joe, thanks a lot. Welcome back. Latitude 30, live every single Wednesday throughout the football season from 6 to 8. This is Jaguars This Week. You know, I remember opening day 2009. We were in Indianapolis, and Dwight Freeney lined up against a rookie left tackle named Eugene Monroe and got schooled. Tomorrow night, 4 years later, in the midst of what's been his best season so far, he'll see Dwight Freeney again.
You know, it's an older Dwight Freeney, but just curious
your thoughts on...
That was 09, right?
09.
The most memorable thing about that game, opening game, on the road, at Indianapolis, on the fast track against Dwight Freeney for Eugene Monroe, is that offensive coordinator Dirk Cutter gave Eugene Monroe zero help. That was embarrassing. Zero help for a rookie left tackle against what was, and in arguably could, you could still say he is, the best pass rusher in the National Football League. At that time, there was no doubt. And it should be a good matchup. Dwight Freeney is not quite the player on natural grass as he is on artificial turf. He missed a couple games this year. His numbers aren't quite there. He's got two sacks. He's missed only two games, and that, I guess, was with an ankle because he missed the first matchup against the Jaguars. And I hope that, Eugene Monroe plays better, because these are the type of games where it's national television against a premier player, much like you had in week one, obviously, with Jared Allen. But the difference is this one is on national television.
Would you help him this time?
At times, yes, because Dwight Freeney is that good of a player. But I think there are times that when you need to get people out in the routes, Eugene needs to man up and block Dwight Freeney one-on-one.
Dwight likes TV, too. So,
but he doesn't like grass. You know, let me add this, in that Dwight Freeney only has two sacks, and one of his sacks came last week against Jake Long, and I watched that game on tape. Dwight Freeney ate up Jake Long.
A lot of people have this year. I've seen Jake Long a couple times, and he is struggling mightily. The Rams took it to him. Jake Long is not playing very well this year. I would put him as a average tackle at best if you look at his play this year. So him getting beat is not a good barometer to what Dwight's doing. So if my expectation is that Eugene Moreau can handle Dwight Freeney at this time, at this point in Dwight's career and where Eugene is. I'm not saying you don't run a back by every once in a while on the way out to chip his way out, but I don't think you game plan. If Eugene is what we think he is, I don't think you game plan Dwight Freeney.
Right, maybe not like you would have 3 years ago.
Nope.
No, and I think on grass, because the facts are the facts, he's not the same player on grass as what he is on artificial turf for whatever reason.
Well, and I'll say this. So one of the things that I was – and you mentioned how conservative they were, Jeff, coming the Jags offense against the Lions, which I didn't understand is they kept Mercedes in quite a bit, even when he was on – Eugene's side against a guy that Kyle VandenBosch that I would think Eugene can handle all by himself, and kept Rashad Jennings in. So they had seven blocking against four.
A lot of seven, man.
Only three guys out. I don't – and listen, we're not calling plays. I don't know what the overall game plan or scheme was to attack the Lions. But I don't understand why you – I don't help Eugene Moreau. If he's our franchise tackle, his job's to block the end. Let's get guys out in the route. If he's struggling, fine, make an in-game adjustment. Or if you're
but
playing,
you don't go into it with that as your plan.
I don't think you go into it with your plan. Or run back. Just run a back by. Listen, every team chips.
Thank you.
Just chip on the way out. No, I don't understand. That was perplexing to me.
Yeah, and I don't think the idea going in was to help Eugene so much as it was to help the guards against Nick Fairley, Corey Williams, and Ndamukong Suh, because that watching the game kind of progress, that's clearly what the plan was.
And that makes sense.
I agree with you that you wouldn't want to go into a game with Eugene Moreau against Kyle VandenBosch and saying we need to help Eugene. I don't think that was the plan.
No, their plan obviously was to help. It was to help Brewster because they slid to him with Eugene.
Yes.
Here's the question fans want to know going forward, though. The last eight games of the season, are they going to throw downfield more? Does this offense open up more?
Need to.
I kind of think it has to at this point.
And, Jeff, let me go back to that point. I guess you got to get guys out in the route. And so if you're worried about Brewster, slide the line that way and slide right. The center. Because, listen.
Let's not get too technical, though, because we're blowing the minds
of
a lot of people.
But I'm just saying there's ways to do it to get guys out. If you have tackles that you trust,
right.
The way you can help a guard, especially – I got to hope we think Uche is a guy. And I thought Uche played well against –
he's getting healthier.
Played very well.
I thought he played well against Ndamukong Suh. I was very impressed.
His best game of the year so far.
And so if your weakness is at left guard, right. And you know that, slide your center that way, help him out.
I kind of got why you were conservative with Blaine last year. He wasn't ready. He was a young kid. And then this year, at the very start, you've got Maurice. You've got you're not sure what he can handle. He's trying to grow. He was, you're trying to make sure he's confident after what happened last year. But after eight games, with eight games remaining, I don't care if it's spreading. I don't care what it is. You've got to open up and go downfield. You've got to have your third and six passes be 9-yard passes. And you've got to be a little more aggressive in the passing offense. I think it's time.
And you got to get guys out in the round.
So let's sling it around the yard.
Let's sling it.
I'm not sure
who said that. But I think we need to sling it.
He was prophetic.
Jeff said it.
Did you say pathetic or prophetic?
Both.
Prophetic.
Prophetic.
He was pathetic as well. But
Tony disagreed with me.
I did disagree with you, but at this point I do it now.
Sling it.
You've come on over.
No, we're
to the dark side.
No, prescient. Back, before then, with Maurice out, with the how
no, I didn't say that until Maurice was out. No,
and how, with him showing no, but he not can only
that,
do
but
it.
How disappointing that the run game has been with Rashad, and on top of what Blaine has shown at times, especially in Green Bay, Oakland.
Well,
and even the second half of this Detroit game, I think it's time to open it up and let's take some shots.
And don't forget, in the second half of games last year when this team was struggling, Blaine really struggled. He did not finish like you saw him finish the other day.
No.
It was not – I mean, you can't excuse the first half. They lost. There's nothing to be – you know, nothing to be gained from it. But I think the second half the other day showed you've got to let him throw, and you've got to see if he can do that for the whole game.
5 NFL 1. 800-355-6351.
Can we jump all over Justin Blackmon yet?
Yeah, can I real quick? Let me do that on the injury report because I meant to do it. Gray Jones, Maurice Jones, Drew, Dwight Lowry all out. Rasheen Mathis is questionable, and everyone else is probable. For the Colts, Kobe Fleener, Vontae Davis, Gerard Powers, the starting two corners, out. And then Winston Justice, Robert Mathis, Donald Brown, and the center, Samson Zatelli, all questionable. None of those players practiced this week, but that's not unusual in a short week.
I wonder where Jeff wants to go next.
Go ahead, Jeff. Tee it up.
Well, Justin Blackmon.
Well, as we're waiting for that, I do have just one tweet directed.
Do it. Say Blackmon for
What's
after
the tweet?
News.
Yeah, we'll do Blackmon after the break. The tweet was in reference asking you, Jeff, a question.
Okay.
Is the tweeter asked the question, is repeat your statement that you don't want to end up like the Saints. His question is, why not? Sure sounds good to him.
Yeah.
I mean, that was the question.
No, I agree. And sometimes thoughts are a little different in my mind than other people's
Joe
minds.
You went Joe Biden?
My thought was you know, spreading out, trying to throw it all over the yard with the defense that's not quite ready to defend a lot of plays in the game. But I mean, if this team could be like the Saints on offense, absolutely.
Yes, on the other night, that wouldn't stink.
No, no. Drew Brees is a special player.
He is good.
He really is good, and he is one of the top three or four quarterbacks in the league, and without a doubt. So
he's a special player. He's a guy. Anytime that a guy like that is on your team, you feel like you're never out of a game, and you can play, no matter how deficient you are in other areas, you feel like you can win any time you step on the field, and that's what you have to get. And
that's where you got to get.
And that's where you go back to the kind of the question we talked earlier: how many impact players are on this team? You need guys, and not just the quarterback. Quarterback is obviously the most important, but you need guys on your team that every time you step on the field, you feel like we can beat anybody because we have these guys that can go make plays, that can dominate, can take over a game.
And in Indianapolis, you know, the fan base and the coaching staff, if you're down, you feel really good about where you are with their quarterback.
Where you're going.
You look at the games the Indianapolis Colts have had this year. Three or four of those games have been, I don't want to say come from behind, but have been late wins by Andrew Luck and driving the ball. And the game that really stood out was against the Green Bay Packers that the Colts played at home, in which they were down 21-3 at the half, and Andrew Luck brought them back. Those are the type of things that make you go, oh, yeah, we got a quarterback. And that's what this team needs. That's where you need to get with that type of feeling, and that's up to Blaine and Blaine's progress. And I hopefully that will happen because this franchise needs that.
All right, Joe, we'll send it to you for news at the bottom of the hour here.
Thank you, Brian Sexton. Buehler Swiss Watch Company is proud to be the official watch of the Jaguars. Buehler Swiss Watches are available at Allen's Jewelers in Jacksonville, Faceted Rainbow in Ocala, Tallahassee Diamond Center in Tallahassee, Treasures Fine Jewelers in Palatka, and J. Carbone Jewelers in Valdosta. Jaguars this week, presented by Aetna, live at Latitude 30, rolls on here on Jaguars Radio. Well, fans, nobody helps you get ready for game day better than Gate. Snacks, food, drinks, and more. Stop by Gate today. Latitude 30 is the place for Jaguars this week. Brian Sexton is the man.
Yeah, the guy who starts talking. And these guys finish it. Sexton, Lagerman, Buscelli, Osher, Jaguars this week live at Latitude 30. All right, time to uncork the bottle and let it out.
Let's go, Jeffrey.
Justin Blackmon. is a disappointment to this point of his rookie season. Now, we're only eight games in, but I think we expected to see more from one of the most dynamic playmakers that college ball has seen in recent years.
I watched every game that he played in college, and the guy is an absolute physical talent. And there is an adjustment period from college to pros, but what I want to see is more of a sense of urgency about the way he goes about his business, the way he runs his routes, the way he warms up in pregame, the communication with the quarterback. Cecil Shorts basically had a throwaway year, and we're seeing Cecil Shorts steadily climb week after week after week. And we're seeing Justin Blackmon take small steps. And you could argue that from the preseason we haven't seen small steps. He has to be better. You know, one of the points that Brian, me and you were going to talk about on the pregame show.
11:30 Sunday morning, CBS 47.
That'd actually be 7 o'clock tomorrow night.
Right. I'm sorry.
Is that I thought offensively, the offensive line, as I said before, had a good outing against the Detroit Lions. And I thought
I thought Brewster struggled a little bit. I thought the other four played well.
But you know, winnable.
Yes, I agree.
And there were three guys that I would point out offensively that needed to step their game up and didn't. Blaine Gabbert in the first half, early in the second half, and we've already talked about that. Rashad Jennings, hesitant, indecisive, we talked about that. And the third would be Justin Blackmon. He's got to step his game up. I mean, these are all young players. And it's hard to expect a lot of young players because, you know, they still are in the developmental phase. But it's week eight last week against Detroit. It's time to show up and to show what you're capable of, plain and simple.
What's the issue, though, Jeff? I mean, you say sense of urgency, but is that caring? Is that working harder? Is it
I don't worry about what or why. Only thing I worry about is end result, because that's all that you need to be concerned about.
Well, it sounds like there's an element of immaturity there, and that's young kid coming into the league, and it at wide receiver is so detailed a position that if you're not on the details exactly, it's going to show up, and that's what it sounds like.
He needs to be better, and he's capable of being a star. I mean, we said that in the preseason.
Plus, he drafted in the fifth, and you expect that.
Yeah, absolutely. And Blaine Gabbert, you know, when you watch Blaine Gabbert throw the ball to Cecil Shorts, you just know.
Mm-hmm.
You just know that they've got something there. When you see Blaine throw the ball to Justin Blackmon, it's always when the catch is made, even when the catch is made, it seems to be a struggle. And if it's a struggle, then Justin Blackmon needs to spend as much time with his quarterback as he possibly can to where it becomes seamless. It becomes like being like John Osher typing out an article. It's effortless. You know, that's the way it needs to be for a Justin Blackmon.
Or so it would seem.
Well, it is for you.
The great ones make it seem that way.
Jeff, but you get my point.
But, Jeff, how much is it? I wonder how much, and I just thought of this, the new CBA that limits the time you can be on the field and work together. Does that affect a young quarterback and a young receiver?
Yes, but there are other ways that you can spend time
to develop that relationship. Some examples.
Meeting time. Walk through. Meeting times are simply the most important, because you can meet all you want.
Yep.
I think that's the most important thing, but also just spending time together, I think, is an important thing. Pre-game,
pre-game
warm-up. Night before a game, going over the game plan, talking, you know, through the play calling. I mean, all of those things can contribute to that relationship.
Well, it's funny you say pregame warm-up. I'll never forget.
Peyton Manning.
We were playing the Colts in 2000, mm-hmm. and Peyton was probably a third-year player.
Third year, yeah.
I remember going out there early, and I went out there just going to kill the time and make sure that, you know, turf worked and my shoes worked and walked around. And I'll never forget watching Peyton Manning out there with Marvin Harrison
on one side and
Reggie on the other.
No, Reggie wasn't there yet.
Jerome Paython was on the other at that time.
Yeah, yep.
And, like, running, like, 45 minutes of routes. Right. And they must have ran 40 slant patterns. I'm like, okay, I think they got that one down.
And it was always a fight among the receivers to get it as time went
on.
There
was more guys out
there to get involved with that.
Let me tell you what.
It mattered.
Then I quickly learned about an hour later that it was pretty dang effective because as we sat on the sideline, they went up and down the field against our defense.
71-yard touchdown pass in the first play of the game.
Yeah, post. Aaron Beasley.
Yep. Marvin Harrison got him.
That was an ugly game.
That's another opportunity for Justin Blackmon to develop that relationship with Blaine Gabbert.
And it's funny, I think Peyton was the first guy I remember seeing doing that at the extent. But now a lot of the young quarterbacks. I was in Seattle this past week, and Russell Wilson was on the field working with his receivers, running route after route after route.
Yeah, we talked about Reggie Wayne. Reggie swore by it for years that it was critical. I mean, Justin's not going to be Reggie Wayne yet, but you know, and.
But Reggie Wayne wasn't Reggie Wayne as a rookie. It takes work. It takes time. It takes energy. It takes focus to get to that level. There's no replacing hard work.
And I said since day one, rookie receivers are going to struggle, blah, blah, blah. But it's time to get more out of that spot.
Agreed.
In terms of focus, in terms of energy on the field, in terms of everything. It's got to happen.
All right, Joe, let's do this. Let's take our break right now. We'll come back and we'll
go around the league.
Yeah, talk about the other games in the National Football League.
I think I won last week.
We'll find out.
All right. We'll see who wins this week. Jaguars Rewards Program is now better than ever. Season ticket owners get all the great premium benefits like Teal Deals and the Gate Gas Redemption Program. But it's now open to all Jaguars fans. You can get great discounts, cash back, and register to win a trip to the Super Bowl. Just visit Jaguars.com, click on the Jaguars Rewards logo, and start earning your rewards today. Jaguars This Week rolls on live at Latitude 30 here on Jaguars Radio. Well, you can join quarterback Blaine Gabbert, captain of the third annual McKenzie's Run. That's a 5K run and walk and 1 mile fun run November 10th at Everbank Field, and it supports the Mackenzie Noel Wilson Foundation. Register as a team for only $15 per person at mackenziesrun.org.
All right, I'll be out there as well to help start the race off, so come by and say hi.
You running?
No, my wife is. I'm the starter, so I don't think I can start it and then run.
Of course, if they had a golf cart, I would run it.
I bet if you'd make the commitment – that Blake Wilson and the foundation would have a golf cart for you.
How many miles is that?
I think it's just a 3 mile fun run. Yeah, and in the stadium, it's a great.
I could do that.
It doesn't sound like much fun to me.
I would pay the price for that.
It's not worth it. They've done an amazing job. They really have. Hey, I had a thought, and it just went.
Me and Baselli should have a race. In that race in the future, see who finishes better.
A walk or a race.
No, race. Whatever.
Race,
walk.
Get there however you can.
Scooters, bike.
However you can. Hey, just do your take real quick on Chuck Pagano, the head coach of the Colts. Obviously, folks know, suffering from leukemia. Spoke to the team last week, and then this week, about what, a dozen or two guys shaved their heads in support, including the quarterback, Andrew Luck.
I love them, though. I mean, I love their family. I played for his dad.
I've known him for a long time.
I've known the Pagano family since I was 10 years old, 11 years old. And
that's given that team something to rally around, hasn't
Chuck,
it?
And I thought – people asked me last year, you know, who would be a good head coach, you know, when we were going through the whole Jack Del Rio thing. And I think I might have told you.
You did.
I said Chuck Pagano will be a great head coach in this league. And he's the type of guy that obviously a defense coordinator at the Ravens and all that he did there. But he comes from a coaching family. His dad was one of the best high school coaches in Colorado. And he is just one of those guys that inspires people and is a motivator and is a high-energy guy. And for whatever people, wherever he's been, people have rallied around him. And now the fact that he's fighting leukemia and the way that he fights it and his attitude and just the aura he has, I think he's even a greater motivating factor. And you can see in his players how they respond to him. I was reading something Andrew Luck said. You know, he says, I love You know, I love Coach Pagano. I mean, and
he's only been around him a short time.
A short time, and that's just who I mean. Chuck is and he's a good guy, and he's a very, very good football coach. And I thought he would be a good head coach. I thought that was a good hire for the Colts.
Yeah, it's a very inspirational story, and I think that's one thing that you know the Jaguars kind of have to do tonight. Tomorrow night, they have to forget that. They have to realize that yes, the Colts are winning, but they're not winning big. This is still the same team that you beat 5 weeks ago. This is still a winnable game, and you know, this is not the week for the Jaguars to worry about the Colts' feel-good story.
Yeah, and I'm not one of those guys that is a big fan of, well, we're going to win it for the coach. But I have a lot of respect for what Chuck Pagano is going through. I mean, you're talking chemotherapy bout two this week for him. He's got three scheduled coming up. And I'm not going to say that the team is playing because he's sick. I don't want to say that. But I will say this. I have all the best wishes, prayers in the world for Chuck Pagano and his recovery, and I hope it goes very well for him, and I hope the Colts get their butts beat tomorrow night.
All right.
You know,
with that being said.
And before we go to the games, there's some talk that Chuck might be on the Pagano might be on the sidelines back for the Colts in December, which will be remarkable.
Yeah, but they're not talking in a coaching role. It's more of a just be on the sideline.
Well, I think as head coach, no, I mean, he's not going to pull a full week of game plan, but he'll be on the acting head coach
there.
On the sideline.
All right, so
which will be shocking to me. I mean,
that's what Bruce Arians said their goal is, and you know, that's a very admirable goal, and I'm sure it gives Chuck something to fight for, which is terrific.
Yep.
Okay, here we go. Giants and Cincinnati.
How we do last week? I think I won all the games.
I didn't keep track.
I'm pretty sure I did.
Yeah, something's happened to Cincinnati. I got to think the Giants bounce back and play well in that game.
Bengals have lost four in a row since winning here.
Yeah, I'll go Giants.
We took a lot out of
them. I'll take Tom.
All right, Tennessee at Miami.
Miami. You know, I got a chance, by the way, because you'd asked me about the Miami Dolphins and watched the Miami
pretty
Dolphins.
Pretty good, aren't they?
They're not really good in the secondary.
Front seven, though.
And they've got one pass rusher in Cameron Wake, but a tough.
Randy Starks is good.
Very tough football team and a quarterback that definitely has shown signs.
Detroit,
I'll take Miami.
Miami. Detroit and Minnesota.
Detroit.
I'm going to take Detroit because I think
Minnesota's
I'm
going to
go back and say what I said before. The quarterback in Minnesota's got a noodle arm.
Buffalo at New England. Well, we're ripping through these.
New England,
easy. Walking away.
Atlanta.
Tom Brady's going to have 500 yards.
Atlanta at New Orleans.
I'm going to take New Orleans. And you know me. I don't pick against Smitty.
And the Falcons are still mad about the way Drew Brees got the record last year.
Yeah, you know what, though?
I bet Atlanta wins that game. It's going to be vogue to say New Orleans wins it, but I bet Atlanta wins that game.
I'm going to take New Orleans just because I want to see Mike Smith and the Falcons do well. Just because I'm a big fan of Mike Smith, I want to see him advance to the playoffs and win in the playoffs, and I'm hoping that he gets some losses early so that the talk about undefeated season just goes away and then the focus becomes on being a good team and winning in the playoffs.
I'm going to go Atlanta because I don't think New Orleans' defense is very good. I think they're
terrible.
I think they score a lot of points. I could see a 35-31 game.
No,
you don't want to be like their offense, Tony.
That game –
Yeah, so, you don't want to be their offense.
I didn't say that.
Yeah, you basically did.
No, I did not. There you go again. That game will have over 90 points in it.
Okay. San Diego at Tampa Bay.
Tampa.
Doug
Martin, very impressive this past week. Freeman's playing better.
And San Diego has issues.
Yeah,
I'm not
a believer in the Chargers.
Denver at Carolina.
Denver.
Cam.
You're going with Carolina?
I'm going with Carolina. Just to be contrarian.
Oh, good for you.
Oakland at Baltimore.
That's an easy win.
Baltimore.
Well, we're going to find something else to talk about the last 5 minutes of the show. We're ripping through it. Jets at Seattle.
Seattle, because the Jets might be it for them.
Who's playing quarterback for the Jets?
Mark Sanchez.
I don't care who plays quarterback. Seattle, just making the trip from the great Northwest is really good in Seattle.
Mm-hmm. You know, if Tebow were playing, really but he's good. Not, I'm going to go with, since Sanchez is playing, I'm going with the Seahawks.
Did Tebow get elected president or not? Was that?
There are a lot of people that would have voted right. for him. Dallas at Philadelphia.
Yeah.
It's a bad game.
I don't know if Michael Vick will make it through the next couple weeks.
Todd Harriman's their starting right tackle out for the year on IR.
Yeah, he's got a leg injury.
It wasn't like he was great.
I bet Dallas wins that game.
I do, too. I think Dallas.
The offensive line for Philadelphia, Andy Reid can talk about benching Michael Vick all he wants in the world. You know, there are some coaches, offensive coordinators, that go into a game and build a game plan from the protection out. And then there are some offensive coordinators that build a game plan on the route tree back to the protection. Andy Reid is a guy that builds the routes and then tries to figure a way out, well, maybe we can block it like this. That's not the way to do it right now when you've got an offensive line playing like you do in Philadelphia. Andy Reid has taken the wrong approach, and I would have a hard time picking Philadelphia against anybody right now.
St. Louis at San Francisco. Okay, Houston at Chicago.
So you're saying that St. Louis has got no chance?
No, I'll say San Francisco's going to win, but I think St. Louis is better than people think. I think that if you watch that defense play, I give Jeff Fisher a lot of credit, which pains me. But he really – that defense is playing very well. Sam Bradford is improving, but
– they're 3-5 right now, but they'll be one of those teams that I'll bet they wind up 4-4, 5-3.
Yeah, I think their defense keeps it close. I think San Francisco wins.
Yeah, the reason their defense is good is the play of their two defensive ends, in my opinion.
And also
the corner, Cortland Finnegan, is playing really well, physical. Chris Long, and I think it's Nunn, 94 for the Rams.
Yep.
Very, very good players, but one of the strengths of the San Francisco 49ers is their two tackles, their high picks. Joe Staley is probably one of the top three tackles in football. I think that strength becomes neutralized. 49ers take care of them.
All right, and Houston at Chicago.
Well, it's a great game.
Great game. Yeah. Game of the week.
That is the game of the week.
Game of the week. Charles Tillman's a question mark, and – He could be the, you know, he is a candidate right now for league MVP. The rate that he's causing.
Whoa.
Yes.
Charles Tillman, league. Did you mean defense player of the year?
No, I'm talking if his pace continues, he is in the conversation along with the only other defensive player in the league for MVP, which is. And I know he won't ever win.
He's not even in the conversation. What conversation? But, is this one you have with yourself?
But when they have four or five candidates and two of those guys are defensive players, J.J. Watt would be one of them. Charles Tillman would be there. If he keeps the pace that he's at, the number of forced fumbles that he is making, interceptions for touchdowns, and you can laugh all you want.
I'm going to laugh.
But the numbers don't lie.
He will not be, nor will J.J. Watt be in the conversation for MVP of the NFL. They will both be in conversation for Defensive Player of the Year.
Well, J.J. Watt's got to take time out from his Hall of Fame induction ceremony to get that.
Well, right after Albert Hansworth.
Right. But, I mean.
You laugh all you want.
Back to the game.
Laugh all you want, Buscelli.
I'm laughing all I want. I go back. I think the Bears win that game. It's in Chicago.
And it's a huge, you know, I hate the word statement game, but for both of them, because they both lost to Green Bay, I believe, which is their only loss. And
who do you got, Johnny O?
I got the Bears.
They both might be the best. You know,
it's in Chicago.
Bears. Oh, shut up. Bears.
Bears and Bears. Who do you got, Brian?
Bears.
I'm taking Texans.
Are you really?
Everybody write all that down.
All right. You're the only one Texans.
Write it down.
Write it down.
Right now. Write it down.
Are you
the Texans beat Chicago?
Will you be introducing
in Chicago? And I will, and I'll introduce it like this. Internet left defensive end, future really Hall of Famer, from the University of Wisconsin, the Badger, J.J. Watt.
Watt.
With that,
Watt.
Let's go.
Watt. Good night, everybody.